Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and it's another sunny, warm day in Trevose in February. How about that?
That's great.
It's been like in the 50s and 60s. Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow snow.
Week. Snow tomorrow. So yeah. Enjoy today because then back to winter.
That's right.
Anyway, I'm going to make the introductions quick today because we have a very special guest waiting to talk to us. Mm-hmm. Former Chicago Mayor Richard M. Daley is on the phone. He's going to be with us in just a minute. But first, of course, Captain Killjoy is here in the office.
I am here.
You decided to drive from Tuckahoe.
It was such a beautiful day. I figured, why not?
So we are so happy to have you today.
Thanks.
What are you working on at Counselor Magazine? I know you have a special redesign. Can I
we
say
do,
that?
We do, sure. Why not? We have a redesign coming in May for the May issue. So there will be one more issue out before then. But
dare I say, it's a bold, fresh new look.
It is a whole
magazine.
New look.
Very exciting.
And very current, and I think everybody will love it.
All right. Joe Haley, everyone's favorite managing editor, is here. Joe, you've been looking at lots of products lately.
I have.
And you're going to have a special Joe show today?
Today we have a regular Joe show, but we have one on the pet market. That's coming out, you know, because the pet. Aw. We're on the pet market.
That was Michelle Bell.
And we're working on something for March Madness.
Okay. Can't wait to see. Kathy Houston, editor of Advantages here. You're working on your regional sales report for the mid-April issue. Mm-hmm. What region is booming right now?
The West.
The West?
The West is winning.
The West has the biggest comeback to make, I believe.
Yeah.
I know last year they had the most improvement as well in mm-hmm. terms of promo product sales.
Michelle West Bell is. Yes.
Michelle, are you tweeting?
I am tweeting.
What are you tweeting about?
I'm tweeting about our special guest that's coming up.
All right. Well, Rooster is manning the tech booth. All the lovely
there we
sounds you'll
We're
hear
done for
today
the day.
Are from here. All right. You can go home now, Rooster. And Vinny Driscoll will be answering your phone calls later in the program, 215-953-4979. If you tell us what's on your mind, we'll give you a $25 Visa gift card. But let's now delay no longer. We've got a very special guest on the phone, former Chicago Mayor Richard M. Daley is with us today. Oh, wow. A little Sinatra.
It is my kind of town.
Mayor Daley is going to be speaking, keynoting at ASI Chicago on, what's the date, Andy?
July 19th.
July 19th.
That's right.
So we're very much looking forward to him. Of course, he was the mayor of Chicago from 1989 to 2011. Time Magazine has called him the nation's top urban executive. He's the longest-serving mayor in Chicago's history, and Mayor Daley has earned an international reputation as a leading innovator in urban development, fiscal policy, and government stewardship. Welcome to the show, Mayor Daley.
Oh, thank you. Come on. Thank you very much.
Did you like the little Sinatra we played for you?
Yes, I did.
Well, we're so happy to have you on the show today, and we are so excited to meet you in Chicago this summer. We've got a couple questions for you, if you don't mind. Now, you're obviously part of one of the great political families in America, and it strikes us that it's very similar to being a family business, which a lot of businesses in our industry are indeed family businesses.
Right.
Maybe you could tell us some of the advantages and some of the challenges of being part of such a legendary family.
Well, I think I'm really fortunate. I have wonderful parents, and I have three brothers and three sisters. And my father and my mother and father always said that we're going to give you a great name and to live by, and the moral values that you receive from your family and your religious beliefs, and you keep that personal, and a good education. And then from there, you would decide what you want to do in life. And when I decided as a lawyer to go into elected office, my father said, the judgment, you and your wife will make that judgment. And I think it's really important to allow your sons and daughters to make their own decisions. A lot of parents try to push their kids into certain professions and certain way of life. I think you have to allow your children to make their own decisions, and that's what he did. And I was always, he said, you're going to be a public servant. You're not going to be a politician. You're going to be a public servant. You'll serve the public, which is really good. And in public service, you're going to meet people that are wealthier and in different ways. So don't look at them with disrespect. You have selected your own life, so serve the public very well, and I think it was great advice.
That's great. Hi, Mayor Daley. Chicago is one of the premier cities in the U.S., but
as you know, of course, with all big cities, there are some inherent issues. So what are some of the challenges you faced, and how did you overcome them?
Well, I think an inherent issue in America is the education crisis. And what it is that somewhere we think that the schools are only going to educate our children, and that's wrong. There should be a learning environment. And a learning environment should be not only be in the school, should be an after-school program, should be Saturday, Sunday's places of worship, Saturday places of worship. In other words, it's a learning environment, and we look at the schools as the answer to our education. It's not. It is part of the process, but we should have a well-defined quality education in those schools. And I think the key is an after-school program, because many parents or parents are working. And so between 2 o'clock and 5 or 6 o'clock, that is the time they can do their homework, get involved in cultural activities and sports activities, and start mentoring them. And especially Saturday is always a day that we lose. And just think, we have not changed our education system around in America. We give all children 2.5 months off during the summer. In some way, we think that the learning environment continues. In many communities, it doesn't. So the overriding issue is to look at the quality of education. And many people are saying, well, keep the kids in school longer. If that's true, why do college students only go 3 hours a day, 15 hours a week to school, if the answer was in education? And so I'm one who believes that the problem with education is when we don't look at the learning environment. And so if we don't have a good home, then you do substitutes on Saturdays and holidays and things like that. So children can get the benefit of the learning environment that other families have, you know, and other families have and the community has. Mm-hmm. Well, secondly, is a crime issue. There's too many guns in America, and I know this is very controversial and people want to stay away from it, but we are arming America, and I understand you know, people want to have rights to do it, but the amount of people getting killed and the amount of people seriously injured, I think it's now, you see the incident in unfortunately in Ohio, and young man kills 2 or 3 and injures a few others, and it's just another headline, and people don't realize the what it does to the families and to the children there at these schools. And so we organize marches and get people involved. And same thing with education. The answers really come from people. Some way politicians think they have all the answers, but they don't. It really comes from people, and people want constructive, simple ideas to really deal with education and deal with the crime issue. And, of course, that deals. It's complex, but I don't think it's as complex, and we should be able to handle this. It's a great country.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mayor Daley, a lot of our listeners are owners and leaders of companies in our industry, and I think one could make a pretty good correlation between running a government and running a company with lots of employees. So, how did you get your employees to perform at their peak when you were mayor of Chicago?
Well, I think sometimes it's hard, but I have found out there are a lot of people who are really committed to public service, and they feel it, and sometimes we give a bad rap to them. But local government, people know who they are. They have to respond, and like anything else, you have problems. But my viewpoint is use project managers, because sometimes you want to get things done, and in a government, it's very complex. If you look at the federal government, no one has the full responsibility of anything. Everybody has a little piece of the pie, so no one can point fingers. And so what you try to do is, in local government, point project managers to say, this is the issue that we want to work on. You will be the manager of, you know, 2 or 3 departments and 2 agencies. Let's really work on this. And what I did is I got the City of Chicago, the Park District, the Board of Education, the City Colleges, the Transit, whatever issue it was, they're all involved in it some way. And so you really have to be a problem solver and bring people together to look at the holistic approach to something. So no one has the answer in one department in government. It's a series of agencies, and that's what we worked on, project managers. In the private sector, they do that too very well.
Do you think it's a matter of clearly defining their role so people know what to expect?
Yes, and what the end result is. Mm-hmm. What are we trying to accomplish? Mm-hmm. And that's the key, and how you hold meetings accountable, have people accountable, and what they're saying, and where you go from after the meeting. A lot of people want to have meetings after meetings after meetings, and you'll find out nothing ever gets accomplished. So I was very orientated to project managers, and specifically to get the job done.
Mayor Darley, clearly you're excellent at prioritizing issues to tackle. Can you share some tips for being an effective prioritizer?
Well, I think when you look at issues, you know, like you have the homeless issue, the crime issue, and you have to have someone who's really committed on those issues, and they have to be able to follow through. Like a crime issue, we would go out to community, listen to community, have marches against crime, drug houses, abandoned buildings, talk about the schools not performing, find out how the citizens are interacting with the police. And so the police have a very difficult job, because what I found out is that many times they're only going there with bad news. And, you know, your perception is every time you see a police officer is bad news. And so you try to change that. And when you prioritize issues, it's always education and crime. It's really education. I think the only one issue in America is education. If we solve that, I mean, there is so much conversation about it last 30 years. Someone just said, okay, I'm going to take responsibility. A mayor said, I'm going to take responsibility. Or let's change our education system. Let's realize that education has to change with technology. And that's one of the things, biggest difficulty in education, from all the way from early childhood all the way to universities, is technology has to be implemented in those in all the education system, because children have a whole different viewpoint. They live with technology. It's not really instituted in every school in America.
Well, hi, Mayor Daley. This is Michelle. And first of all, we love Chicago here.
Oh,
it's one of our favorite cities.
It's a great city. You know.
You know, much has been made of the growth of China as a manufacturing leader and economic powerhouse. Do you think U.S. businesses can compete? I mean, can the Made in the USA brand get its groove back, so to speak?
Well, I think what we're doing is the world is changing. And if you look at why manufacturing exists in the United States, is the immigration from mostly from Europe when they came over. In the 1800s, they came here, and from all over Europe and Eastern Europe. And when they came here, they started organizing factories. It's really interesting. And the Industrial Revolution, the 80s and the 90s, and then you saw the Depression come by, and the war brought us back up. And we had that the people who wanted to go into manufacturing. There isn't one college and one business school in America that teaches manufacturing. Last couple of weeks ago, I lectured at University of Chicago, and about 50 students, and I took them on a trip to a renovated steel mill in the city of Chicago, on Burnside, on the south side. And the 50 students, none of them parents ever worked in manufacturing. They had never been in manufacturing. And see a steel mill in the middle of the city, selling steel to China, to Korea, to Brazil, and Russia, specialized steel. And 80% of the people that work there are college graduates.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all technology.
Sure.
And that's what we're fighting with. We think it's someone just going to be muscle sitting there in a steel mill carrying all these steel bars. It's not like that anymore.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
there's where education is not caught up with the reality. And one of the things we don't promote education, if you take all the business degrees, so how can you tell people that, you know, manufacturing is interesting? And so you don't have to be an engineer to be a manufacturer. And so how do we basically say this is a wonderful profession, it's wonderful opportunities, and like anything else, the world is growing up around us. You know, we grew up in the United States, and the world is moving quicker. It took us 100 years to be an urban society. China will be an urban society in less than 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they're changing. It's happening not only there, but in Brazil, in India, in Africa. The world has become an urban at a quicker pace than what we saw in the last century.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I know you already praised your mom and dad and the way they raised you and your brothers and sisters.
Right.
So on that note, who do you most admire and why?
Well, first, you know, as an elected official, I've always admired Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Two crises, depression and war, and what he did during those two crises. And since then, America's taken the power away from the presidency. It doesn't matter if it's a Republican or Democratic president. We have shifted the power away from the president on domestic issues, and we have given it to the legislative body and the bureaucracy. That is wrong. The president should have the same amount of power that he has in international affairs as domestic issues. And I don't care who the president is. He should have, and especially in domestic issues, we have taken more and more power away from him and give it to separate agencies without accountability to the president. It's really unfortunate. And but that's the government we're living in today. We and I always admire Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who saw the crisis and took the people in a much better direction.
Now, Mayor Daley, you've already talked about how you don't like to waste time, especially in meetings. What's the savviest strategy you've learned for streamlining inefficiencies?
Well, I found out that many people want to have these meetings and discussions and studies. I remember I went to the federal government, and they said, we're going to give you money in dropouts. I asked them one question: how long have you been studying dropouts? Well, why do you have to give us money now? You've been studying it for 25 years, so what is your answer? No one else should study it. What is it? Is it the lack of family environment? Is there something in the home? Is there lack of after-school programs? Nothing to do on Saturday? Is the school boring? Have they looked at children that, you're not going to succeed. Why should I teach you? So you should tell me. I mean, what everybody wants to do is keep studying these issues. And reality, I think, just let's make a decision and just move on. And I found out dealing with many times with young people not going to school and is that there's something in the home, number one, and maybe there's disconnect in the school, and that's what we have to always look out, because I believe every child is worth saving. I don't care where they come from. We have a wonderful charter school, Urban Prep on the South Side, and all young African-American young men. And you should see these. They come in, and I guess they're not supposed to succeed. But just think, they graduate from high school. They're going on to college. It is amazing to see what they have done with these young men. And Tim King there, I'm taking my class, University of Chicago, there to observe the teachers and the mentors. And why are they succeeding? And why are these young people, they've built their own character and confidence that, you know, can shake your hand and talk to you as a young man. To me, there's so many bright spots in America that maybe we don't talk about those success stories.
Oh, well, that's great advice. We really appreciate you coming on the show. And
thank you.
Obviously, you have a great passion for education. Now, I have just one last question before you get off the phone. We're all coming to Chicago again this summer. What's your favorite ever Chicago restaurant that we must go to when we come this summer?
Gibson's.
I think a few of us have been there.
That's great.
That's a great
pick.
Thanks so much for having you. We can't wait to see you in Chicago.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. That was longtime Chicago Mayor Richard M. Daley. Wow. What a great guy. Really passionate.
Yeah.
Can't wait to hear him talk more. Check out ASIShow.com. Be sure to register for ASI Chicago, and you can hear Mayor Daley speak on this.
That's going
to
be really interesting.
Yeah. I can't wait. Wow.
I know,
what a neat guy. All right, we're going to pause for a message from today's show sponsor, AIA. When we return, we got all kinds of things to talk about, don't we, Andy?
Absolutely.
Where do you see your business in the next 5 years? Do you believe that you have all the support and tools to reach your goals? With AIA, your vision can become reality. AIA understands that not all businesses are the same. They work with you to craft a customized, individual plan that develops your business in a way that's best for you and the professional life you want to create, regardless of where your business is in its life cycle. When you become part of the AIA community, you have the resources, talent, and expertise of a robust organization at your fingertips, all while keeping your business and your clients. The offer? A simple agreement with no non-compete provisions, no money up front, no monthly or transactional fees, and no technology fees. One simple rate, period. Contact AIA today, 877-212-7324 or www.aiacommunity.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. We just had longtime Chicago Mayor Richard M. Daley on the show. He's going to be speaking at ASI Chicago in July. Check it out, ASIShow.com. Tell us what you thought of his...
He said some interesting things about motivating employees and, you know, how to have a productive environment.
But even, like, inspiring people. I mean, the confidence, he was talking about the kids in that school. They come from broken families or wherever, and they're doing great things.
Sure.
Yeah.
If you want to tell us what you thought of Daley's comments, call us at 215-953-4979. Call now, because we just have a few minutes. On line one, we have one of our favorite callers, Stanley from California.
Stanley.
What's up, Stanley?
Good morning.
How are you?
It's bright. It's sunny. I've got my Girl Scout cinnamon cookies on my desk.
That's my favorite.
Is that your breakfast?
No, it's more of a decoration.
That was my breakfast.
Stanley, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, it's funny. I was just saying to one of the people in our office, I was hoping you were going to ask Mayor Daley that, you know, how they found the use of promotions in government, when he was mayor. But one of the things I just wanted to thank you guys for is just the idea that you invite the mayor, who's not really connected to our industry. I know he's going to be the keynote speaker, but that you ask him questions about running his government, running his offices, his philosophies, which we can then take back in, into our business. And I really liked what he said about how people just have too many meetings, too many studies, too many programs. So my question to you is, how would you compare that to running a promotion business?
Well, same thing. Like, don't waste your time with meaningless,
meetings.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I also really like this comment about, just make a decision. For
right,
God's sake.
Right.
It's like, you can study things. You can, whether it's surveying, people on what types of products they want, mm-hmm. or, ideas to give clients. I mean, just, make a decision. And
people
go
get
with
bogged
it.
Down in analysis paralysis.
Trust your gut.
Yeah. It's not brain surgery.
Really?
I mean, do you think that we do the same thing when it comes to quoting for clients, that we try to involve too many vendors, trying to look at too many products, that we should shorten our list and use maybe a smaller number of vendors more often? Do you think that might have any make sense?
Well, it all depends. I mean, sometimes. And also, I would say for distributors, stop second-guessing yourselves with your decisions on things that you're recommending to your clients, or whether or not to charge your clients 50% up front, or whether or not you should be paid for your consultation time. I think a lot of time is wasted hemming and hawing about those things.
No hemming and hawing.
No, I agree
right.
with that. And I think it's not necessarily an issue about the number of suppliers you use. I think you use what's most comfortable for your business and you figure out what's most efficient. But more like Kathy said, it's more of an internal thing. You don't want to be spending all of your time vetting every supplier. So, yes, do what's comfortable for you. But I don't think it's a matter of number or preferred suppliers or anything like that. I think it's a matter of knowing your business well and being able to like you said, Stanley, if you're doing quoting, then to be able to do that quickly.
That's a matter of
knowing your business inside and out, and knowing your costs and knowing your expenses and knowing your overhead, and making sure you're able to factor all of that in very quickly so that you could come back with a quote in an efficient manner.
You know what? I'm going to take the opposing view and say I would limit the number of suppliers. Having just secret shopped a whole bunch of suppliers, God, is that time consuming.
Mm-hmm.
I would find, a couple hard good suppliers that are excellent that you're comfortable in using, a couple apparel suppliers, and be done with it and just stick with them. You'll get a better deal because you're loyal to them, because they're, they're used to dealing with you. It's just too much to deal with so many suppliers.
All right. Well, there you have it, Stanley. Thank you so much for calling and stay on the line for your Visa gift card. Let's talk now a little bit about tweeting. I know that's Andy's favorite thing today.
Oh, that's
today.
Me.
That's you, Kath.
Kath, a lot of people, tweet about their experiences with companies. What do you do if someone tweets something bad about your company?
If somebody's a mean tweeter?
Yeah, which there are lots of mean tweeters
out
there.
Is that a meter?
No, they call them twankers.
Twankers.
I've never heard that before.
Twankers. I like twankers. That's good.
Twankers.
I like it.
Okay, so
better than
the first thing you're supposed to do is minimize the likelihood of public complaints in the first place. You don't want customers complaining about you on Twitter because it gets out to everybody else.
Or Facebook, for that matter.
Or Facebook. So make sure that the first impulse of customers is to reach you directly. So you have to make it easy for them to email you, call you, and complain to you directly.
But what if that doesn't happen, Kathy?
What if that doesn't happen? Well, you can't win a digital argument, so breathe, slow down, and above all else, avoid reacting in anger.
So don't send a twanker back.
Don't be a twanker yourself.
Back.
Exactly.
I think that's the best message. You don't just move it.
Let
move
it go.
It offline,
yeah.
So to speak.
That's right.
Why is Michelle so horrified?
Michelle,
because Joe just uttered the phrase "Let it go."
Michelle had a twanker recently, sort of. You had an angry...
Yes,
angry
I got flamed on Facebook, and it is not
you
a pleasant
did?
Thing.
Really?
I did.
Oh,
wait
I
a minute.
You have to forward
and
this.
I'm not on Facebook, but people sent me the thread and sent me the conversation.
Send it to me. I love
an
it.
Angry freelance writer.
I love
yep.
it.
It wasn't me, was it?
And Michelle did not respond.
Because I'm not on Facebook.
However,
if I was
she
on
will
Facebook,
never use the freelance writer again. So the
no,
twanker
you
got twanked.
You wouldn't have responded on Facebook, though.
You would have had to duct tape my hands down, because I probably would have.
Yeah, I don't know if you would
have. But you did the right thing.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
you don't
want to respond in public.
Any other tips, Kath?
Yeah, turn twankers into thankers.
That's what I like to do.
You know what? This happens with me. I get hate email, you know, sometimes, occasionally. And what I do is just very calmly, I breathe. I let it go.
You do breathe?
I don't take it personally.
And then we mock them incessantly.
And then we mock them behind their backs. But
no, but you know what I do? I would confront the twinker. Because if you're,
no, we
if
do.
You're nice and
we
you
do.
Confront them.
They Oh, they turn like this.
Then they turn into
They turn
butter.
Like this. And the key thing here is avoid the fiasco formula, which is the formula for a PR disaster. Small error plus slow response time equals fiasco. So the sooner you handle your response to the twinker, the more... they're likely to turn into a thinker. There you,
there
go.
You go. So keep your cool and be nice back.
That's right.
But
that
you may
wonders.
Also want to take...
No, Andy. Don't be hating.
Hey, don't be hating.
Go ahead, Gilgis. Captain Killjoy.
Give us your voice.
No, I'm not Killjoying here. Thank okay. you Captain very Twinker. Much. Captain Twinker. It's almost a better name.
That sounds like a 1960s show.
I think you may want to take the twanker's viewpoint, and at least if it's something that you could apply to your business... to improve, then, you know, don't just
you know,
let
it
go.
That is a good point.
Don't just let it go into the internet ether. You know, if they're saying something that
well,
you think could
course.
Improve your customer service or there is a, you know, critical comment that maybe there's some truth to.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're right.
You need to apply that to your business
you're
and
right.
actually take it seriously.
That's a
valid
point.
Advice
from yes. Captain Killjoy.
Thank
right.
you.
Thank
All
you.
Right, we've been talking Thank for a while that Michelle has been doing some secret shopping. Mm-hmm. Michelle, tell yes. us what you were up to and what you learned.
What we did with Supplier Global Resource Magazine, it's the cover story for the upcoming March-April issue, is that I went undercover with a fake name. And
what was your name?
Not easy for you to do.
What was your name?
It Rochelle.
Giselle. What was it?
Elizabeth, which is my middle name, Castiel, which is my favorite character from a TV show on TV.
What TV show?
Oh, we'll skip which TV show because it's going to make me seem really
Buffy
nerdy.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
No, Supernatural. But oh, moving okay. on. So.
Wow.
Let's move on.
So I had a fake ASI number and a fake distributor name, and I secret shopped 6 different supplier companies, big, large wearables companies, small wearables, top 40 companies, hard goods companies, right across the board. And here's what I learned. First of all, it is very time consuming to try to get an order placed with a supplier. Even the ones that are very quick, there's a lot of information they need, and there's a lot of back and forth. So I really feel it gave me it was an eye-opening experience for what distributors have to go through. Mm-hmm. Here's some tips. Have inventory information readily available online. I tried to place an order with one mid-size apparel company. I tried to place it. They had it in stock. The next day, they did not. So I had to go through the process all over again of picking an item.
Oh, that's
so
annoying.
It's really important to have up-to-date inventory information online. Impose a 24-hour rule that dictates all customer requests will get a response within a day. I reached out to people via email, and 2 companies did not respond. It took them a week to get
Oops.
Back to me.
Oh, my
and
God.
My subject line was, I'd like to place a 500-piece order. Which you would have thought would have got their attention, mm-hmm. but no.
Not so much.
The ones who were the best were the people who picked up the phone and answered my questions, because it gets really annoying to have to go back and forth with people via email.
Yeah.
Some people just picked up the phone and wanted to talk to me, and it's amazing how quickly you can resolve things just
did
right on the phone.
Did they actually speak to you?
They did, which was tricky because yeah. they all had my cell
did
phone
you,
number, and
did
I
you
had
put
to
on
answer
a different
as Liz Castiel.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
I couldn't answer it as Michelle. Empower your customer service reps. I think if customer service reps had the ability to, for example, I feigned that I needed an order within 5 days, and the customer service person felt for me and wanted to waive the setup charge and the rush fee, but couldn't because that was the company policy. I think if she would have been empowered to do that, she would have had, if I was a real customer, I think she would have had a customer for life.
And did you name names in your article, Michelle?
I named 2 companies. Yes, I did.
So
and
you
I'll name
the outstanding ones.
I did. I'll name one here, Crystal D. The
I like Crystal D.
The awards company. They were phenomenal from start to finish. Really responsive. And we have theme music for me, I guess.
All right. I can't wait to read it. So suppliers can check that out. It's
yep.
Supplier Global Resource in the March issue. March
we will.
Issue.
And I'll post that online. And I think it would be okay
distributors
for distributors
would like to read that.
To read it as
yeah,
well.
I was going
to
say, I think that's good tips for distributors.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we have just enough time in the show today for our editors to talk about their favorite things. Joe, tell us what your favorite product of the week is. And, of course, all these can be found on ASI Central/radio.
It's the fix-all kit from Natural Trends, ASI 73497. That's www.naturaltrends.com. It includes a WD-40 pen, so you use it for things that aren't moving that should, and it has some duct tape in there for things that are moving. That's a good thing, too. For things that are moving that shouldn't. It's a great giveaway for anyone
that's
who's
an interesting way to describe this.
What?
Things that are
things,
moving?
Things that shouldn't be moved. I mean, should be moving. You got to get a little.
You got to lube them up.
Yeah, I get it.
Anyway, it's a great giveaway for anyone exhibited at a home trade show, for carpenters, for handy people, for hardware stores.
All right.
That's it.
I like it, Joe.
Check it out, asicentral.com/radio. Andy, do you have anything that
I'm
should be
sure
moving?
I'm not sure how to follow that up. No.
Just follow it.
I have no parts that should be moving. my comes from Provender International Corporation. That's ASI 79975, and it's perfect for the season. It is an Easter egg jar that's filled with a cookie assortment featuring key lime, peach, blueberry, and raspberry cookies.
Is it an apothecary
perfect
jar?
Perfect for the season. No, and I won't even
I was
try to
say
that.
Joe
it
hasn't
is a
said that.
Easter
a
egg
time.
Cookie jar.
Perfect for this time of year. You Kathy, what's your favorite product?
Mine is very simple, but I think it's cute like little you. Thing for yes. For schools and also like accountants this time of year, they're doing some numbers crunching and making a lot of mistakes and erasing. So from Hit Promotional Products, we have the very new eraser stick. It costs less than a dollar. It works like a pen, but the eraser comes out instead of the pen.
All right. Yes. Michelle, favorite product of the week?
Yes, it's this thing. It's a card that can be – it's this thing.
It's this thing. Here it is right here.
It's a card that can be imprinted, and it has a really flat USB drive. Oh. And I found it in Europe, but it's carried by a company here in the U.S., and you can find the information on our website. The company is called Intermed Asia, but it's carried by a U.S. supplier.
Great for direct mail.
And who's that supplier?
Online. Great direct mail piece.
I think it's PolyConcept. But we can find their information online at asicentral.com/radio.
All right. Thanks, Michelle. All right. We are out of time today. Thanks for everyone listening to our great interview with Mayor Daley. Check him out at ASI Chicago. Go to asishow.com to register. Thanks to today's show sponsor, AIA. And thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll catch you next week when it'll be March.